The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Third throw in 3 plays. It's intercepted. And the Tigers are going the other way. A.J. Terrell with a pick six. It's a shovel pass in the middle. And battling his way to the end zone, ETN for a second time. Tigers on fire. And backpedaling, Lawrence flips it open. Wide open. Justin Ross off and running. The Alabama native wins the foot race. And Clemson strengthens its grip on this championship game.
One more first down, and this will end deep in Tide territory with very likely a victory formation and a 55th win for this Clemson senior class. The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
Nothing like coming into a day of work after Nick Saban gets his ass kicked like that.
Humbled. Absolutely humbled.
I make you humble.
I gotta tell you. They look slow.
Bama? They look bewildered.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize that every one of Clemson's wide receivers is like 6'3", 6'4". Yep.
I didn't realize they could all catch with like one finger on the ball.
Remember that was a thing? Like,
yeah,
oh,
now it's just like every
Odell.
Game.
Odell's just he's cropped a generation of people just doing one-handed catches now.
Like, I'm just going to tap it to myself 3 times and then catch it with one hand and then keep going.
And tank for Trevor? Are we off tour?
Yeah, 2021. Well, you got to wait an extra year. But
there's a conspiracy out there that the NFL is going to make sure that the Patriots will get Trevor in order to take over for Brady.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
The Patriots are going to throw a 2-14.
Never. Correct.
You think Bill's going to let that happen? He's going to tank, or is he going to just flee?
He's going to compile 700 picks and he's going to trade up.
Yeah, he's going to probably trade. He'll trade Gronk to the Dolphins for a first.
You do understand? Gronk. Hey, right now, Gronk couldn't get a 5th round pick.
From the Dolphins. Don't ever sell the Dolphins short.
Well, Gronk wants to retire, but I feel like if you got him down here, though.
Oh, if you told, hey, Gronk, Miami, he'd be all for it. He gets to party down here the whole time?
Oh.
Yeah, what's up, Chris? This is Bill Belichick. How's it going, man? Hey, congrats on the new position. Hey, what do you say about Gronk or Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, all right. Yeah, what you got? We need to fill that void because that Gasecki, he sucks.
Yeah, 1st round pick.
What's that?
That's a 1st round pick. It's a good deal. Trust me. He's good.
There's no way.
All right.
If
doesn't
it
have to be this year? It could be 2021 first.
Oh, no. You know what? There could be some there could be some mufky fufky if he calls his boy Matt Patricia in the Lions.
If anybody gives up a 1st round pick for Gronk,
fired.
As soon as it's exact.
Well, I know that Gronk didn't want to go to Detroit before, but like there could be some other assets that the Patriots could trade to Detroit.
No, I think you nailed it. I think it has to be somewhere tropical for Gronk to still play.
No, let's not involve Gronk because his body is broken, and you're right. Unless it's Miami, he's not playing. Unless there's a team in Hawaii or the islands. So I feel like Belichick is just gonna like tell Matt Patricia, I made you a coach. You're getting paid a lot more money now. Give me your picks. Because we want Lawrence
like
in 2021.
Like it's time to pay the piper?
Yeah, correct.
No.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Like, I don't think you guys really.
Oh, no, we get it. We understand. Yeah.
This
Gronk could not get a 4th round pick, maybe.
We're not talking about Gronk.
Whoever.
Oh yeah, I think Gronk could probably like. I think you could fleece somebody into getting like a 3rd. Yeah,
maybe swap 3rds or something like that.
I don't know, man. But I'll tell you what, these young quarterbacks, this is kind of a new wave of the NFL fan. It almost reminds me of basketball. Like people are looking at these dudes, because it's not like Suck for Luck was like a year thing. And Andrew Luck was, you know, he put in some years. It's kind of like, oh yeah, Andrew Luck's the guy. We suck for luck for a year. People having their eyeballs on guys who aren't coming out for 2-3 years.
Yeah. Oh, well, people are already talking about freaking the receiver from last night, Ross.
Just it comes out the same year as Lawrence.
I mean, like, and it's like, it's a receiver.
I know.
And What are we to make about Tua? Like, are we suddenly like he's?
No, I'm still on Tua.
A lot of people give up on Tua last night.
Come on, you see those numbers he put up this year? He was ridiculous. Plus, he's also coming off a high ankle sprain.
It was only his fifth and sixth interception, right, of the year.
He was ridiculous this year, dude. Like, what was that Tua train this year, Robbie? It was ridiculous in the Magnificent Seven.
Oh, I mean, it was money. It was money against some of these SEC teams.
Like, man, it sucks.
They were only 8-7 against the spread.
Because you can't have a bad day.
Not on the biggest stage. No.
Well, how about this? I kid you not.
Do you understand? Like, wait, you
want your mind blown? So last night after the game.
I'm telling you what.
Oh, did I interrupt you?
You just interrupted me. It better be good.
It better be good.
Continue.
So much pressure.
No!
No, the interruption was already done.
You go. You're interrupted. Go.
Can you go?
Blow my mind.
Yeah. You get that minus one ready.
So much pressure. I didn't think it was the thing. And then I went trolling around on Alabama people, big fans, Twitter pages, and there were Fire Saban tweets.
Are you? Yeah, of course. That's a crazy.
He's won five.
Fire Belichick.
He's washed.
He's won five
Wait,
titles.
You did the same thing. What makes you think an Alabama
I
fan
didn't,
won't
I
do
never
it?
Said anything like that.
Fire Belichick.
Last night felt me.
Last night felt very Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson-ish.
No, not even close.
No.
Clemson was a 42-1.
Here's what I think.
Come on.
Here's what happened. I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened and why everybody thought what they thought. First of all, Alabama's Alabama.
Yep.
But Clemson was missing one of their best defensive players. But Alabama was too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, hey, Clemson's missing a number one D tackle in college football. But guess what? They got the number two guy.
Okay, but it's one thing to lose.
And
it's another thing to get knocked the bleep out.
And by the way, we didn't make a big deal about it when they just, Kelly Bryant? They just kicked him aside, kind of the same way Alabama did with Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
This Trevor Lawrence.
Ridiculous.
Wow. Like, show some animation.
Nah.
Dude is way too mellow.
And they, how many times is he from? He's from Georgia.
He's from Georgia. Tell me he doesn't look like he should be from, like,
he's sunshine.
California somewhere.
No, I mean, he looks like...
Him and Brady look like they grew up together.
Last night, what were they calling him? Hippie Jesus?
Was that a thing?
Is that what they're calling him?
Yeah.
Hippie Jesus?
Yes.
That was just sunshine.
Let's get the headlines.
Sunshine. I like sunshine.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar,
radio.com
station.
Well, now you have a new tanking slogan.
Great ones.
Suck for sunshine.
Minus one.
I wasn't
minus one.
I mean... Like, you kind of got to let that go by.
Tua and Judy come out at the same time.
Tank for Trevor. Like, they're all out there.
Lose for Lawrence. I mean, no, that's...
Lose for Lawrence. Yeah. Like,
that's
minus one.
No, that's on the text machine.
Any,
so you're okay, Robbie.
Any... I mean, how many Lawrences do you know?
There's Dexter Lawrence.
I wonder if he's related to... What's her name?
Lawrence Taylor.
To,
Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, I think that would have been a feature.
She went to Louisville. I don't know.
There was also a big thing
She's
last
pretty
night.
Too.
There was also a lot of pushback.
He's a very handsome dude.
There was a lot of pushback against the worldwide leader because they basically led up to the game, basically telling you that it was a coronation for Alabama as being the best, dynasty in the history of college football.
So I'm saying, though, man.
The great thing about playing a sport and actually playing the game is that you can be wrong in your analysis.
They got smoked, though, man. Like, that's
they look slow.
That's the difference with yesterday.
Here's the difference. Not just that they got smoked. They got Nick Saban, without a doubt, 100% got out coached.
Did you see that fake field goal? How ready Clemson was for it?
Out-coached.
No.
Out-coached.
Look, I get tired of hearing this.
Okay.
Don't confuse out-coach with Clemson having better players.
No,
because that's what it looked like. It didn't matter what plays were called.
Leroy,
it doesn't matter. If you have a cornerback that can't cover the wide receiver, it doesn't matter what you call.
But if Alabama's calling a play and Clemson knows what's coming, that's being out-coached.
Yeah. Everybody knew what Alabama was running for the last 5 years.
That
you just couldn't stop it.
It was...
They faced somebody that could physically match them, and the whole team The whole state, their coaching staff, nobody
on the text machine 67974 NunezLaw.com text line. Did Nick Saban get outcoached? Yes or no?
Because he lost, he got outcoached? You lose by almost 30 points?
He got outcoached.
Game plan ain't got nothing to do with it.
It's hard to say he didn't get outcoached, though.
That fake field goal.
Like, I'm not denying that Clemson also has a better player.
30 points? You lose by 30 points?
You got outcoached?
There is no game plan that's going to make that game close.
Dare I say, he seems like he did come in looking a little lethargic, a little bloated. Might have digested some rat poison.
I mean, Clemson ran off the final 10 minutes of the clock from their own one.
Saban digested rat poison?
Yep. Yeah, a little too chummy with Tom Rinaldi. Didn't you notice?
Oh, by the way, are we going to give the people the word?
Oh, yeah, we didn't give the word.
It's okay. I got all hour.
Oh, well, let's give the people the word.
Let's see. What is your word this hour? Ah, something Nick Saban's not doing right now. Extend. Your word is extend. Text that to 72881. $1,000 give and go is brought to you by Anna John Levine. Accident attorneys, call them at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. And if you don't win this time, we'll give you another chance in next hour's show. Yeah.
Really the biggest news other than the national championship last night is the Heat are playing tonight.
Yeah, they're taking the Nuggets, who lost to Houston yesterday. But they're the number one team in the West.
Correct. So this could be
James Harden is unbelievable.
This could be a doozy. This could be a doozy.
The Heat are favored in this game, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah, by 1 point.
How is that possible?
They're at home.
They played last night.
So because of the back-to-back situation, even though Denver's like the number one team?
The Heat are at home.
Okay. The line is down to 1.5, by the way. Heat hosts the Nuggets. Whatever. Heat hosts the Nuggets. 7:30, 6:30, we have the pregame with Zaz and Tommy Tighe right here on the ticket.
Cool. That it?
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. No offensive coordinator stuff?
Nah, I mean, everyone seems to think it's Major Applewhite, but then I got someone flying into my DMs yesterday saying there's still a little, it's still not settled yet. I don't know.
So clashing?
Here's the situation. Major Applewhite is still trying to get a head coaching job. If he doesn't get a head coaching job, then Manny probably told him, the opportunity is here for you. We'll give you a chance to go get your head coaching job. If you don't get one or get one you like, here you go.
And then Sassy Pete came after me and it was, the whole thing.
Does that make sense?
Why was Sassy Pete going after you?
Because I just threw somebody out there to be like fodder. Like I wasn't reporting news or anything. I just said fodder. And all of a sudden, Sassy Pete came thundering in like, you wouldn't have to be guessing if you followed Kane Insight.
See, I got Sassy Pete back on his mark. He's back to being a journalist.
No, he's not.
No. My hard call out got him back on the beat.
No, and then he started making clown face emojis and whatever. And I'm like, dude, can you grow up? And then he came back with devil emojis. And I'm like, hey man, love your info and your hard work, but try adulting. And then he didn't say anything else.
Well, you are 25 years older than him.
No, but he doesn't comprehend that he's no longer the bruh in college. Because he was that guy.
He was the bruh?
Yeah, every time I'd be around tailgates, I'd see him with the tank top on, just drinking, the bruh, chains, he was the bruh.
So, yeah, but you used to be the bruh. You mad because he got all those hip scoops, that's why.
No, I'm not, man.
He kind of stole your thunder.
I was in the press box. He was never in the press box.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was...
Broke that Mark Richt news, though.
Fine. And?
And what?
Okay.
The brush strategy worked.
Eh. Did it?
It did!
Scoops are scoops.
Scoops are scoops.
Fine, man. I mean, Slater gets his.
Knows the brun Pete. Now? The brun now is Lousen.
Sassy Pete's gets Lousen's. His. Lousen gets his. Everyone Lousen's gets theirs.
You used to be King Scoop.
No, I was never King Scoop.
You used to be King Scoop.
I was
what
never.
What happened to you now?
I was never at all King Scoop. Although I did break the Sean Eichhorst leaving news.
Ugh.
Used to be Baskin Robbins.
And you're standing on the edge, face up, cause you're a natural. I've been in heart of stone. You gotta be.
All right, welcome back. It's Tobin, Leroy, and Beast here with you. Adam Beast is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk some Dolphins head coaching search with him. He also wants to yell at me about my worst Dolphin coach of all time list, which was, in my opinion, spot on, even though the masses didn't see it that
way. Why are we always getting into fights?
Why are you the only one that gets to determine whether your point has validity?
Because it's my point.
I mean, you come up with a point. You're allowed to defend your point.
I know where I'm
you
coming from.
You are allowed to defend your point, but for you to just throw out there spot on.
Yeah, spot on.
You don't determine that.
I think I do.
No.
Otherwise,
you'd never be wrong.
Well, who needs to make a list if you're always going to just put the guy with the worst record as the worst?
No, I'm not saying. No. Okay.
Oh, no.
But look, that list should not be worst coaches. That should be team Petty's worst
coaches.
True.
It's not true.
Really?
I don't have a team Petty beef against Cam Cameron. He was my second worst coach. Saban was third. All right. That goes towards your category a little bit. Fourth on the list was Wonstadt. I don't have some grand beef with Wonstadt. I don't like the fact that Ricky Williams quit. But I feel like if your superstar ups and leaves a week before training camp because you handed him the ball 5,000 times.
His body was broken.
You got to hold some responsibility there.
What was the most carries you ever had in a year?
Most touches?
Yep.
Because I caught a lot of passes.
Yeah. Most touches.
300? But I did
200 less than
Ricky. I did a lot of different stuff. Like, Ricky would never have to block for another back.
Yeah, well, he did enough that he was like, no mas. By the way, you guys seeing that this Drake curse is on full bore?
No.
You guys know about the Drake curse?
Yeah, he's rocking an Alabama sweater.
Well, I know about it. Yeah, I mean, I understand.
No, he
was on the Alabama bandwagon last night?
Well, apparently before the semifinals, he went and visited Alabama. And people have been taking notice that whoever Drake hitches his wagon to, because Drake is known as the biggest bandwagon fan in all of sports.
Correct.
Whoever he hitches his wagon to, that team loses. For example, this is how it's gone. So Conor McGregor.
Correct.
He has become a big Conor McGregor fan, has been in the stable. This really happened around the Floyd Mayweather fight. He's now 0-2 and has stopped twice since Conor McGregor. When he's been seen with the Kentucky Windbreaker, they have not won a title since 2012 when Drake hitched his wagon to them. It's all over.
And, of course, the Raptors.
Of course, the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors every year. Quite frankly, the Heat. Once he hitched his wagon to the Heat bandwagon, LeBron upped and left town. Drake's fault, y'all. Not LeBron's, apparently. Drake's. Well, that's who you can be mad at.
In some kind of way, I still believe you're going to be mad at LeBron.
He also, I mean, just saying, you know, last year was a great year for the University of Miami, 10 wins, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, two of the best weeks ever, and then he shot God's plan on campus, and then
over. Oops.
Over.
Yep.
Rick gone.
He is a mush.
Yep.
Drake's a mush. And so, sorry, Saban, that's who you can blame.
I do not want to present a Magnificent Seven around Drake.
I don't need to say nothing.
What?
Can't take him serious.
You can't take Drake serious?
No.
Why take the curse seriously.
He was in Degrassi. Then all of a sudden he's
a good thespian in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Did you just call him a thespian?
Yeah. What?
It's a P, right? It's
not yes. A P. Totally legal.
Thespian.
Yes.
That's what I said. I didn't call him a thespian.
That's what you just said.
That's what you said.
Yeah, you made it weird.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to make it weird, although that is kind of weird.
By the way, Leroy, your career high in touches was 254, 94 with the Browns.
No, but I have returns and stuff like that.
But that was just combined carries and receptions. I didn't factor in kick returns.
254.
So did you guys hear salty Nick Saban yesterday after the game?
No, I'd love to, though.
All right. Robbie, give me a little Nick Saban's press conference yesterday because he was a real bastard. And obviously, your reporters, you're going in the first 21-point loss since 2006 when he was head coach of the Dolphins against the Bills, week 15. He quit then. I'm sure he's going to quit on Alabama soon, too. That's what he does. He's a runner. Here's Nick Saban yesterday after the game.
Nick Danusman from The Athletic. I noticed when you were leaving the field, you were looking over your notes. I wondered what you were seeing there, what you were thinking.
I'd be happy to answer that. I was looking at none of your business. And also, I was thinking to myself, how am I going to steal this loser's soul? Next question.
Were you surprised you weren't able to generate more consistent pressure on Lawrence? And did you feel that he got more comfortable as the game went on because of that?
Was I surprised that we couldn't get any pressure? Of course I'm surprised. We're f***ing Alabama. And was he getting so comfortable? Yeah, he was getting too comfortable. His sissy hair was blowing in the wind the entire game. He was able to put curlers in it like my grandmother.
right there in the middle, second row.
Hi, Coach. Marty Smith, ESPN. You said to me in the past that you tend to remember the losses much more than the wins. Outside of the scoreboard, what do you think you'll remember most about tonight?
Oh, you think you're cute, Marty Smith? You think you can walk in here with your ginger ass and think that you're going to smile and be all funny and I'm not going to get pissed at a question like that? Get out of my face, Marty Smith. What I'm going to remember is that I'm taking your soul forever. So if you ever thought you were going to be at the pearly gates, guess again, high energy boy. You're going to dine with Lucifer and the demons for the rest of time. I'm out of here. Get out of my face.
Damn, I got hostile.
Evil genius.
The fact that he's sitting over there.
No.
Turning red.
That's not the worst
part. He can't breathe right now.
That's not the worst part. The worst part is I saw him over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear.
Oh, man.
But not that.
Yeah, because they put all the production in after.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That was live.
You stole a bit from the Levitard show.
Did I?
Doesn't Mike do that thing?
He's the dirty demon of debate. Nick Saban is just the straight up devil. Kind of
the same thing.
They invented doing the devil
voice. It's like the same voice.
Okay. Been doing it for years in this market, but it's fine.
Oh, so they stole it from you.
I'm not saying anybody stole anything because it's not the same bit. Like people doing a devil voice, if it has different purpose, it really doesn't matter, does it?
Really?
That's
why don't right. you do something?
Yeah, let me know when you come up with a bit.
Yeah.
Box 10.
That used to be my thing. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that used to be your thing?
Yeah, because everybody keeps leaving every time you try to do a bit.
Yeah. That's the point.
Because you know radio so well.
Act the park. Act the park. He really is a bastard. I'm so happy to see him lose like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's delightful.
You know what? Like, here, no matter how I feel about a coach or a player, I want to be the guy that has the stories to tell about being around when that happened. You know what I mean? Like, one of the great things about baseball, when everybody was hitting all those home runs,
yeah,
oh, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
That was awesome.
That's never going to happen again, but we can say we were there. We sure. were around.
Yeah.
Okay? Bill Belichick winning all the Super Bowls. Regardless of what you think about Bill Belichick, 10 years from now, you're going to say, hey,
this guy
remember
cheated
the Patriots?
Yeah, he cheated his way to a lot of wins.
That's what you'll say.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Same thing with Nick Saban. Like, man, like, I was younger when Bear Bryant was the coach. Hell, I think I even got recruited by him.
Really?
Yeah. I got recruited by Tom Osborne.
Well, I remember
Tom Osborne, Joe Paterno, Bo Schembechler.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Onsparger.
Who was at Ohio State?
Mack Brown. Earl Bruce. They didn't even sniff me. Well, because keep in mind, a lot of northern schools weren't recruiting down in Louisiana as of yet.
Do you think that Nick Saban was going to be a lot easier on Marty Smith?
When he's
like, hey, you got, hey, Nick, you've told me all these great things in the past.
What year did you go to college?
86.
Bear Bryant.
Was it?
Was done in 82.
But
was he still with us?
I have letters.
And he died in 83.
I have letters. Not Bear Bryant.
Somebody
Who's
else.
Who's the coach? No. Who's the coach?
Slimy.
No.
No,
it wasn't Stallings yet.
Was it Stallings? No. Who came after
Bryant? No, wasn't it Shula? Was Shula back?
No, that was after Stallings.
That was way late. That was in the 2000s.
Stallings won a national championship.
Yes, correct. When the what's-his-face stole
Who's
the ball
the
from Lamar Thomas.
Deeg.
Oh, man, the Drake curse has made it to ESPN.
I still have my letter frame from Gerald Ford.
From Michigan?
Yep. Bill Arnsparger was at LSU.
Ray Perkins.
Oh, yeah,
then
that's
it was
right.
Bill Curry.
Ray Perkins, and then didn't he coach the Patriots for a while?
I remember when Notre Dame hired the high school coach from Cincinnati.
No, did he like spicy food?
Jerry Faust. Right out of high school.
Whoa, never seen that before. Right out of high school?
Yep. Jerry Faust was a high school coach.
Well, Gus Malzahn came straight out of high school.
Yeah, that is true.
He didn't go from to a head coach. He was an offensive coordinator. And
correct.
Then
no, no,
way
no.
Around.
Jerry Faust was who's the big school in Cincinnati. He went from there to Notre Dame.
And then Jimmy Johnson de-pantsed him in his last game. That's what happened.
Moeller High School.
Moeller High School in Cincinnati, right?
Yep. Yep. He was there for 18 years.
And went from there to college.
We got ourselves a pair of Modest Yahoo tickets to give away
on
today's show.
It's my
also,
boy.
You can go with Beast.
Yeah, you guys can go with Beast. Also, Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. He covers the Miami Dolphins. He will give us the latest on this Dolphins coaching search and be upset about Adam Gase's place in the official list of worst Dolphins coaches of all time, where he ranks number one. He disagrees with that, so we'll get into that next.
Did you watch the games this past year?
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. We take you up until 4 o'clock. Hey, the ticket invites you to join our sister station, Kiss Country, at the 34th Annual Chili Cook-Off, powered by Ford. It is coming your way January 26th at CB Smith Park in Pembroke Pines. Headliners include Brooks and Dunn, Luke Combs, Rodney Atkins, Low Cash, and many more. Get your tickets now at theticketmiami.com. Let's go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenience that we'll find the Miami Herald's Adam Beasley. He covers the Miami Dolphins and hates my list for worst coach of all time in Dolphins history since Don Shula. Beasley, what you got? You got beef with the ranking of Adam Gase's worst coach of all of Dolphin in Dolphins history?
See, Tobin, I was going to ease into the interview. I was going to congratulate you first in your ever-growing forum.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, what the world always needs is another hour of Beast. So I'm glad you could give the people what they wanted.
That's so not what they want.
Yeah, he tried to.
He was a sledgehammer, man, right across the face to start, and of course you're wrong.
Why?
Well, yeah, we need to know why.
About what part? The fact that Adam Gase is the worst coach since, I guess, ever, because you're saying since Shula.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're counting George Wilson, because he doesn't really count.
No, he was a sweetheart. He was a sweetheart.
That's bonkers, man. I mean, what are you talking about?
All right, so of the seven guys, where do you think he lies? Do you think he is one of the top three? Because here's what I got. I got Gase, Cam Cameron, Saban, Wonstadt, Philbin, Jimmy, Sperano.
Well, he's not better than Jimmy, okay? I mean, Jimmy was a really good coach.
Yep.
And he
did run Marino off.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if he had the personnel that he had in Dallas, they would have won a Super Bowl here.
He did pretty good. And he did pretty good on personnel, too. Like, as far as all those beloved defenders, like, Jimmy did a great job.
Okay. Wani, is Wani the second best coach since Don Shula?
I didn't have him second. I had him fourth.
Okay.
And the reason
you have Sperano as the best coach since Don Shula, because that means you've been drinking on the job.
No, but here's why. Because this is why I grade Adam Gase a lot worse than Tony Sperano. Because Tony Sperano not only didn't have to deal with the personnel things, he had Parcells here, but he also had to deal with sabotage. Like, he had his coach actively flying around the country trying to screw him.
Okay, that was late in. He only lasted, what, six games after that?
Yes, but he also has the distinction of embarrassing Bill Belichick like nobody has in the history of football.
I mean, you don't think Bill Belichick was pretty pissed off about the Miami Miracle?
No, not like the Wildcat. Come on. Like, the Miami Miracle, he walks off that and he's just like, you know what, we had Gronk out on the field. We kind of caused that. The Wildcat is like, I've never seen him so befuddled by something that was so crazy.
Okay, that was one game, and I'll give you credit. That was a pretty ingenious game.
They
parlayed that into a gimmicky season, which was cool. and then when Chad Henningsen got hurt, we kind of saw that Tony Sperano couldn't adapt and stuck by Chad Henning far longer than he should have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to rip Gase for Tannehill, we got to rip Sperano for Henning. Is that not fair?
But your claim yesterday was if he had Sperano's roster,
Gase had the 2008 Dolphins, they'd be winning games right now.
You think they would be still in the playoffs?
Gase, I know you guys like to just dump on him because you think he's not a good coach and you don't think
he's got beady eyes and you can't trust anyone with beady eyes.
I don't dump on him. I dump on him. One of the few reasons why I would dump on him is because he never really, like, he would throw too many guys under the bus and say it wasn't him, but it was the circumstances or whatever. And if you look at the better coaches, a lot of them will just blow right by that and say it doesn't matter. We got to win games.
All right. So, and I think the degree there's a degree of truth to what you're saying. My counter to that would be this: you're going to fault a guy for being honest?
No. I'm not. Look, you're going to have a hard time getting players to play for you and buy into your system if they get the feeling that every time things go bad, whether it's honest or not, you're going to throw them underneath the bus. That's always going to be tough.
And again, there's times that you can point to him being, what's the word, passing the buck, so to speak.
Right.
But I would also say this. There are a ton of times that we don't know about that haven't been publicized where he did whatever he could to protect his guys.
Yes. No, okay? I understand.
And Jarvis Landry, we don't know the half of the crazy stuff he did in 2017 because Gase didn't let it become public. But, I mean, you hear some of the stories behind the scenes. If Gase really was a throw guys under the bus type of coach, Jarvis Landry's reputation would be a lot worse than it is even now because he did some stuff that would get you kicked off of most teams.
In all honesty, he's like, my problem isn't the throwing the under the bus stuff. Like, I get that. Like, eventually you got to get to a point where you got to survive for your job. It felt like the Gase stuff that bothered me personally was I think the guy had a little bit too much – he had a little bit too much control of a roster – and never really seemed satisfied. Like, he kept always saying, oh, no, this is how I like my roster, and this is how I like my roster. And it's just like, it's never good. You're playing in the NFL. Like, it's never going to be crafted to perfection. And then there was also this waning. Like, we were, in the middle of the season, he's telling me Ryan Tannehill has a ceiling that can't be reached with all the tangibles that he has in his body. And then it's like 2 weeks later, I'm off that bridge. This guy clearly can't do it. Like, and so I'm just like, But you're supposed to be the guy. This is supposed to be your calling card.
You're saying they went 7-9 with this team that was supposed to win four games this year. They went 7-9 with a team that every power ranking in the NFL had them 31st or 32nd. They were 7-6 with three games left to go and had a chance to make the playoffs, a really good chance to make the playoffs if they had won out with a roster that was bad to begin with and got so much worse because of injuries. And you can quibble with his personality, which is fair. And you can say, well, look, his stats weren't great, which is fair. I think coaches are judged by wins and losses, right? And do you really think the roster that the Dolphins had this year, and you can say, well, it was his fault the roster was constructed that way. Mm-hmm. I think there's a degree of truth to that. I think Mike Tannenbaum and Chris Greer have a lot more say than they've gotten credit or blame for. But all that being said, what is a coach's primary responsibility? Getting the most out of the talent he has. And the dude is, what, two games under 500, despite not having his quarterback half of the 3 years he was here, and having a roster this year that everyone thought was garbage.
Yeah, but the one thing I would say is,
how you could rank him behind Cam Cameron is what I really want to put my head through the window on.
Well, okay, I understand. But, first of all, I mean, it's very easy. Like, we're going to put the 1-15 guy atop the worst coaches list. Like, then I should just rank them by order. Here's why. Cam Cameron.
How many of those guys that were here and gone got three interviews the year they were fired for other head coaching jobs?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. This is maybe what the worst class of head coaches with all these openings. Everybody's going around.
Even in a bad class, how many interviews did Cam Cameron have in the decades since he's been the head coach of the Miami Dolphins to be a head coach? And the answer is zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're a little too close to this, and that's my issue. Is that do I think that he is Jimmy Johnson? No, he's got a lot of room for growth and. Maybe he gets another chance this year, maybe he doesn't, but at some point I think he's going to be a really good head coach. And Jimmy, when he came here, was fully formed and in the back nine of his career and all that. But to say he's worse than the Wonstats and the Speranos and the Cam Camerons and certainly the Philbins, look, again,
sweetheart.
That defense that Joe Philbin inherited in 2012 was awesome. I mean, they had some real talent in 2012, 2013. And they didn't even have a winning record then.
I put him on the bottom of the. I put Philbin closer to the top of the list for one reason. You send a linebacker out there to cover a tight end with a billy club, we're done.
It's like your one Philbin thing. Bees.
Here's my one Philbin thing. Yeah. All right. Blow up dolls in meeting rooms and simulated sexual acts in the front of the line in warm ups, and the head coach has no idea.
Hey. Your guy Gaser had an O-line coach who fell in love with a stripper who sent selfie videos of himself doing rails before a meeting.
Okay, that was behind closed doors.
Bees, let's look forward for a second. Where are the Dolphins in this coaching search? And I've talked to you, I've talked to Perk, I've talked to Barry, I've talked to everybody. No one seems enthralled by the candidates that are being interviewed for this job.
Well, that's because, in my opinion, they're not better than Adam Gase. And that's, again, part of my argument here. When you make a fire, when you clean house, you've got to have a plan to improve, okay? And if your only point of contention for improvement is he's going to say the right things to the media that Adam Gase maybe didn't, that's not a good plan, okay? And if the reason you're firing a guy that you give publicly is he wanted to win in 2019, is that a good plan? Like, no, we want a guy who's going to lose this year, all right? And so there's a reason there's not a great deal of enthusiasm for this class, is because it's not a great class. You look around, they've interviewed a dude who went 8-28 with the Raiders, okay? Dennis Allen, if Dennis Allen gets this job, it will be the worst panned hire in Dolphins history. Like, fans will legit revolt. I think Hard Rock Stadium will be half empty this fall. I think Steve Ross knows that cannot be the fact. And it leads me down to a different path. Why they even talked Dennis Allen? Well, because Jeff Ireland put a good word in for him.
Oh, that's awful.
We can discuss that if you want to.
Oh, that's
too.
Awful.
Yeah, we'd love to know. Why would you take the word of Jeff Ireland?
Bees, I look at it this way. Knowing what we know and knowing all the fact that they didn't have a clear-cut option before firing him, is it safe to assume that something happened that caused that to happen abruptly?
Well, I mean, you see the reports, and I can't either confirm or deny it, I don't know, but you've seen the reports that there was some sort of falling out halfway through the season, and it didn't get better. Certainly, when there's rumors 3 games left in the season and the team is still in the playoff hunt that your coach isn't safe, that's a bad sign. It's something that's, something's not right there. There are things behind the scenes that have not been revealed yet that may have led to that, and I know my colleague Armando Salguero has brought some to light. But let's play this game, guys. Who are you going to trust for football matters? The guy that had that you're going to crush him because it's just Peyton Manning throwing the football, but the guy who directed the highest scoring offense in NFL history, or the dude who has never won a playoff game, okay? And so when it comes to credibility, I'm still going to take the guy who took Jay Ajayi and Jarvis Landry and Matt Moore to the playoffs over the guy that's under 500 for his career as an owner over a decade. All right?
So I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Question, why aren't these candidates more, talked up? It's because, A, they're largely unknown, and the ones that we know don't have great reputations. When a guy like Mike Munchak declines an interview with the Dolphins, guy who was nothing in Tennessee and is a decent offensive line coach in Pittsburgh, that's got to tell you something. That's got to tell you something that there are eight openings now. I guess seven now that Green Bay's made a hire. Of those seven, the Dolphins are probably the last most lucrative, right? The last most appealing.
Yeah, it's either
they have a quarterback, their roster's bad, their cap space is kind of iffy.
Bees, I would say this, that one of Stephen Ross's flaws is that he tends to be too loyal to his people.
Well, I mean, not only too loyal, but he doesn't know when to stop listening. Like, Bill Parcells had sway a decade after he'd been here.
Talked about
Jeff Ireland, who was a failure here,
right,
to be honest.
That
why
being
are you still
said,
talking to him?
Why
are you picking up the phone? And that's the thing about Stephen Ross, is that I don't think it's changed, and he's 78 years old now, so most 78-year-olds don't change very much going forward, is that he doesn't have the confidence in himself when it comes to football matters to just trust the advisors he has, Dan Marino, Tom Garfinkel, Matt Higgins, and he has to get everyone's opinion. And he has to get a bunch of different voices in his head with people who have varying degrees of success in the past because he doesn't have the confidence in himself. And that's scary when you're going into a coaching search. And, again, Chris Greer is going to probably make the hire, but Ross is going to have to sign off on it.
Right.
So that's not going to change. And so do I think the Dolphins are going to have great success with Stephen Ross as the owner? They're going to have to get really lucky with the quarterback. I think that's the answer.
Well, my thing is that one of the things last year when he wanted to trade down to get Lamar Jackson and get more picks, say what you want, whether it would have been a good move or not, that sounds like a football move. That seems like a move that a team would make that needs multiple positions and needs multiple picks. So wherever he got that information from, the fact that he wanted to do it, starting to sound like he at least is you know, get acclimated with mate. Right,
but
exactly.
Give him that advice.
Well, sure. The other thing is that knowing how loyal he is and knowing how he sticks with guys far too long, something had to happen or something had to be up for him to just change on Adam Gase that quick.
Yeah.
It's not his, it's not how he does things. It's not how he has done things.
I would be really interested to have a beer with Steve Ross someday and really pick his brain either on or off the record about what happened, because you're right, it doesn't make a ton of sense. The team got hammered by injuries and they were still 7-6 with three games to go. And word comes out your coach might get fired and it all goes to hell. Is it causation or correlation? I don't know. But you can't say it wasn't a factor, the fact that there's your head coach has got some uncertainty and the team goes into the tank. You guys want to talk about who the next Dolphins coach will be? Because I think I have a pretty good idea.
Well, I saw in your piece, you said it seems like Brian Flores is the favorite right now. Like, do you think that's where they're leaning?
Yeah, if I had any money, which I don't because I got a kid, but if I had any money, I would put it all on Brian Flores. I think this has been where we've been headed all along, and maybe it's been Chris Greer, the other four interviews that they're going to conduct are just doing their due diligence. I don't know the answer to that. But he and Greer have a relationship. Certainly coaching for the Patriots and being part of the organization has been appealing to Steve Ross. We know that he's long coveted Patriots important people. Nick Caserio was almost the general manager here. He had two interviews back in 2014. Defensive coach, 37 years old, I think. Really interesting story. Son of Honduran immigrants, grew up dirt poor in Brooklyn and used football to escape and got a job with the Patriots right out of college, and now look at him. So I think he's really a coach that might not have Adam Gase's, you know, quick wit or soundbite, but he'd be the solid kind of safe pick that Chris Greer might be looking for. And so, yeah, there are other options out there still. There's probably going to be other coaches that get a second interview. But Dolphins fans should probably get their head around a Patriots assistant being their next head coach.
That being said, when you look at all of the assistants that have come out of Kansas City behind Andy Reid, and then look at all the assistants that have come out of the Patriots with New England, clearly the ones out of Kansas City and Philadelphia have been more successful. Would you even consider that? Or you just, I mean, nobody really been successful that's come out of New England.
I mean, I guess Bill O'Brien might be the only one you can point to.
Right.
Look, if the Dolphins get a Bill O'Brien and they go to the playoffs every year, I think we'll take that, right? I mean, certainly the Super Bowl is the goal, but I mean, just relevance is the first step this franchise needs to make. As far as the Patriots versus the Chiefs, certainly you're right. Kansas City's got a better track record. I think each coach is evaluated on an individual basis, and so we'll see if they do hire Flores. That'll surely be a question. I mean, Matt Patricia isn't exactly – his predecessor, defensive coordinator, isn't exactly setting the world on fire in Detroit, and I think he's got 1 year left before he's gone. So that will be a big storyline if they do hire him, for sure.
Thanks for the time, Beez. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Beez.
All right, guys.
All right.
Adam Beasley. Follow him, Adam H. Beasley, on Twitter. He's got the latest on the Dolphins coaching search. But, yeah, I did read that in his piece yesterday, that Flores is the guy. That seems where Chris Greer is leaning. So we'll
look, I get it. I understand that people want that structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to build for the future, and they've seen the longevity of that organization and how they put it together and the things that they did. That being said, everybody that comes from underneath Andy Reid has had success. Innovative, creative, and I might lean that way.
We'll get more into the Dolphins coaching search and where they're leaning right after this.